You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
A very good morning. This is Frida Liu. This is BFM 89.9. I'm speaking to Andrew Tan from Meta Team Consulting in our Aiming for Alpha segment, and we're talking about unearthing your leadership destiny. Before we get into the heart of the matter, first of all, what's the difference between neurosemantics and neuro-linguistic programming, Andrew?
Good morning, Frida. First of all, there is a difference. Second, is the difference significant? Yes, again. Neurosemantics was created by my mentor, Dr. Michael Hall, back in 1994. In fact, he was in KL in March recently. The first difference is that the emphasis is on personal responsibility. Whatever we learn, we apply to ourselves first before we talk to others. We walk the talk first. We don't ask someone to smile if we don't. The second difference is the emphasis on EQ instead of IQ. It's who we know, not what we know in life. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Therefore, there is more emphasis on values and beliefs which influence our attitudes. That is more powerful than just changing the way we see, hear, or feel things.
So that's neurosemantics.
And there is a simple formula. A, B, C, D, E. Attitude leads to beliefs, leads to character, leads to destiny, and that goes for eternity.
Okay. So what about neuro-linguistic programming? Are they the same thing together with neurosemantics?
Well, I will put neurosemantics as an evolution of NLP. Because in NLP, it began as a communication model. But neurosemantics is more of an actualization model where people actualize their potential in life, especially as leaders.
All right. Back to our topic for today. Is everyone a leader?
Yes, in a way. I believe that everyone faces choices in their daily life and they need to make decisions which affect themselves and others as well. So in a way, that is leadership. I have met two kinds of people recently. Those who want to make the correct decisions themselves. They come from my public programs. And then there are those who want their staff, their employees, to make decisions and show initiative. And they send their staff to my corporate leadership training.
Okay, so basically, can we be fulfilled being a follower?
Yes, you can. No one is a leader all the time. In fact, we have to be good followers before we can be good leaders. There is a trend reinforced by recent events in the world of the need for servant leadership, where the leader serves the others and empowers them, making himself or herself dispensable. Wow. According to Lao Tzu, a leader is best when people barely know he or she exists. Not so good when people obey and acclaim him. Worse when they despise him. But of a good leader who talks little, when his work is done, his aim fulfilled, they will say, we did it ourselves.
Okay, so with being a leader, people always think of it in the corporate context and in the business world. You can be a leader in many areas as well.
Yes, definitely. We are all leaders at home, in our family, in our work, wherever we serve, whether in our temple, our mosque, or our church. So we are all leaders. We are making decisions every day.
All right. So leadership in that aspect. So how do you identify your leadership destiny?
Well, first of all, we have to know who we are. A wise man once said, be careful of what you wish for because you might get it. A lot of people miss out on what they really want in life because they did not follow the correct sequence. We must know who we are before we decide what we want in life. The stronger the why, the easier the how. Necessity is the mother of invention. So we must ask ourselves, what kind of person do I want to be this year or in 2 years' time?
Okay, so the stronger the why, the
easier the how.
The easier the how. So a lot of people don't find the why, and that's why everything is difficult.
Well, sometimes we are our own worst enemy.
We usually are.
Yeah.
And of course, in this process, of course, as a leadership, you're also identifying your mission in life and all that. So I've also looked through what some of the things that you talked about on your website, and you said that there was a danger of excessive optimism. Isn't it good to be optimistic?
Yes, I agree. Generally, optimism is good for the soul. The danger comes when we use it to deny the need for improvement. For example, Dr. John Gottman, a leading marriage counselor, says that for a marriage to survive, the couple must maintain at least 5 positive messages for every negative one. However, if the ratio exceeds 11-1, the marriage gets into trouble because there's little room for feedback and corrective action. In my experience, this ratio system also applies to business relationships. We all need good feelings, but we also need feedback.
Okay, this is BFM 89.9. Speaking to Andrew Tam from Meta Team Consulting, and we're talking about leadership destiny in our Aiming for Alpha segment. Welcome back. This is Frida Liu. I'm speaking to Andrew Tam from Meta Team Consulting, and we're talking about leadership destiny in our Aiming for Alpha segment. So, how do you overcome obstacles in this journey of uncovering your destiny, leadership destiny?
First of all, I would like to define obstacles or problems as challenges that causes us to improve ourselves in life. We overcome these challenges by focusing more on solutions rather than the problems. Because we get more of what we focus on, there's something called the law of attraction. Therefore, it's better to say, I want to be smart, instead of saying, I don't want to be stupid. Having said that, there are two warnings that come with the law of attraction, which was made popular recently by the video The Secret, which is no longer a secret actually. Anyway, I've asked Anthony Robbins before about The Secret, and he said that the universe was not built to cater to every wish. And I also asked Michael Hall about the video The Secret, and he said, even if you want something, we got to work for it. We must close the gap between knowing and doing, which are two different things.
So are you saying that the law of attraction only works if you work at it?
Yeah, we don't want something and it appears at our doorstep. I wish it was that simple.
Yeah, me too. So how do you then... Okay, also the other thing that you talk about is finding your inner and outer voices. What are these inner and outer voices that you talk about?
In life, we all have masks that we wear in public. So this is our outer voice. Sometimes we wear so many masks that we forget who we really are. So to know who we really are, we must listen to our 10 inner voices.
Okay, and so what are these 10 inner voices?
The first is the voice of solitude, which asks, do I make enough time for myself to relax and listen? And that is a very crucial one. The second one is the voice of conscience, which asks, if someone is watching, would I do it? The third one is the voice of reason, which asks, does this make sense to me? Number four is the voice of wisdom, which will ask, in the long term, is this good for me? This applies especially to physical and mental health. And the fifth is the voice of sincerity. Am I being true to myself by doing this? Number six is the voice of toughness, of persistence, which will ask us, if I start this, will I finish this? Number seven is the voice of the detective, which says, I don't believe this. Now, we have to be careful with this voice. It is useful, but if it is too active, we will not believe things which can help us or save us, because we will become too cynical and untrusting of almost everything.
Okay. And what is it that usually holds people back? The first stage, the first question, people stop, don't even bother asking that first question, that first inner voice?
Well, a lot of people are busy doing things in life. Or they may be in the business of accumulation, having things. Well, we are not human havings or human doings. We are human beings. So find time to be the person you were meant to be.
And why is it that we get sidetracked and not be aware of what it is that we want to do?
Well, we must know who we are. And if we know who we are, all other things will fall into place. And having said that, there are also three other voices we have left. And number eight is the voice of intuition, which says, my heart has its own reasons which does not make sense to my mind, but I can trust my gut feeling. Number nine is the voice of empathy. Do I want empathy or sympathy? Because empathy is understanding someone, and sympathy is feeling sorry for them. And last but not least, the voice of commitment. Am I committed or just involved? What is the difference? Commitment is a Big Mac. Involvement is a McGake.
It's a what?
It's a egg sandwich from McDonald's. McGake. McGake.
McGake.
The one
okay,
we
okay.
have for breakfast.
Okay. So, you know, with all this, the level of commitment, I guess that relates to staying focused.
Yes, it
right?
does.
How do we stay focused?
In life, we must stay focused by riding on a laser beam. I call this laser beam focus, which can cut through steel. and is more powerful than torchlight focus, which goes in all directions. Laser beam focus happens when all our values, goals, and actions are moving together in the same direction. There must be internal teamwork first. Energy flows where attention goes, as determined by our intention.
All right, so now I guess with the 10 steps of identifying your leadership destiny, identifying your leadership destiny is to go through these 10 inner voices, to stop and think about what it is that you want, and then from there, fine-tuning it and moving to your destiny.
That is right.
Okay, are there any final words, Andrew?
Well, when we can manage our destiny, we can manage our thoughts and feelings instead of vice versa. We can set goals in a way that guarantees success. We ask the right question, we get the right answer. We can read others and know the right words to use to influence them with integrity. And we can convince others and change our habits easily, overcome limiting beliefs, fears, and phobias. And I would like to close with a story. Because I've been discussing with Michael Hall, and he told me when he was in KL recently in March that Abraham Maslow, the creator of the hierarchy of needs, well, he was one of the founders of NLP in a way. But Maslow gave us the what, but not the how and the why. But you see, in today's society, especially for those who are young, physically and those in spirit as well, we must know and motivate ourselves. Because if you look at the Maslow hierarchy of needs, when today's young generation especially, when it comes to survival, well, they all live in decent houses, they have decent food, they have security. Social needs, they have hundreds if not thousands of friends on Facebook. Self-esteem, I think they have a lot, maybe too much sometimes. So they go into the marketplace, the job marketplace today, looking for jobs, and the first thing on their mind is self-actualization. Are they fulfilling their potential in life? And this is something we have to consider for the young people entering the workforce today, because these are the leaders of tomorrow. This is the question that bugs their parents, their bosses, and I hope it bugs them too, because they need to do some thinking about it and some feeling. There are a lot of free articles on NLP and neurosemantics available on the internet. And for information about public programs, you may go to www.nsnlptraining.com. And for information about corporate programs, you may go to www.meta-team.net.
All right. I've been speaking to Andrew Tam from Meta Team Consulting in our Aiming for Alpha segment on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station.